Let's start another Design Studio conversation about presentation design and the business of presentation. Here are the show hosts, Troy Caller, Nolan Hams, and Sandra Johnson. Season 6, Episode 114.
Hi, I'm Troy Caller from TLC Creative Services, based back in Southern California.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz, and I'm in snowy Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Montclair, New Jersey, where it has been fall for like a month and the trees look beautiful.
Well, hey, thanks. This is going to be fun. This is a great episode, by the way. And I'm going to clarify my opening welcome with our, you know, I'm going to start off with what's happening is our Hawaii business trip was great. It's done now. Now, actually, you laugh, but so first of all, there's a 3-hour time difference to Hawaii from California. So those early morning meetings, because I was working every morning, I'd wake up to, you know, 60, 70 emails. And then those early, you know, if somebody had an 8 a.m. meeting, that was 5 a.m. for me. Well, then I had a couple of East Coast companies. That's a 6-hour time difference. Oh. I was like, hey, could you schedule that at your end of day? Because that's like my morning.
So, I've done that.
And that was a little bit grueling.
And then it was a full 25-yard walk to the beach from
the room. Which, so, I mean, it was uphill both ways.
It was great. I worked basically a half a day, and then we would go do other things. I actually recorded the opener for the last episode while I was overlooking the ocean. It was fantastic. It was a great few weeks. I did work every day. And then we went like paddle boarding or snorkeling or hiking for a break every single day. But now I'm back in the studio and the projects continue. We've got presentation templates, a lot of them actually. Some are a lot of fun. Some are just corporate. Presentation makeovers. We got a lot of those happening. And then lots and lots of virtual meeting platform development. We keep expanding that. So yeah, so I'm back and we actually did fly from Hawaii to LA and it was raining that day. So we're like, what is going on? It is cold here. Cold, Nolan, was like 65 degrees. We were freezing.
Well, LA has actually been colder than New York here the last week on certain days.
Yeah, it's been a little zingy as far as the weather goes. Hey, so what's happening with you two?
Nolan, you start. Yeah.
lots of projects, again, coming and going. I've become a regular writer for creativepro.com on the subject of presentation.
Awesome.
So if you go to creativepro.com/presentations, that's their whole presentation page. So I'm writing a couple times a month for them. And the first one just launched on how to make an animated walk-in loop using PowerPoint's animated GIF function, which for me, for my money, really simplifies animated loops. You don't have to jump through as many hoops. So that's there. I'm also doing some videos for them as well. So definitely bookmark that site. And I just bit the bullet after, you know, 3 or 4 years, and I'm finally redoing my website. I'm moving to Squarespace for a number of reasons. Yeah. I'm trying to simplify things a little bit, but I found a great developer. I hope they're going to be great, that I've already met and signed the contract and everything. And I'm really impressed with them, because I am now a client of a designer. Mm-hmm. And even though, and it's weird, and I'm learning a lot about just being a client, I guess. And I'm actually learning from some of the ways they're doing things. So maybe we'll talk about that later. I think maybe I'll write something up about it. But I like the way they work, and I like the way they sort of crack the whip on me.
I love it. So yeah. So you said a couple of reasons for Squarespace versus, I'm guessing you were on WordPress.
I was on WordPress. I was on a customized WordPress template that was really hard for me to make edits to. My blog is going to remain on WordPress for now, but I just needed the old WordPress site never quite got where I wanted it to. And so I'm doing that thing of I want restrictions. I think I need restrictions on my site as much as, you know, I want it to be perfect. And I probably should have relied on my site more over the years, but, you know, I never have as sort of a selling tool. So, so I'm going to jump back in the Squarespace pool. I was there many, many years ago, and we'll see. Well, I just want simplicity. That's what I'm going for.
Well, there are some advantages there because like right now the PowerPoint blog, you know, the thing I've had running since 2006, you have to update WordPress. You have to refresh your WordPress theme about every 4 to 5 years maximum because the theme we're using, the whole underpinning of it, it's basically broken. The developer no longer develops it. And this is my third, well, this will be the fourth iteration of the blog. It didn't start in a WordPress site, but so, you know, it's actually a pretty easy port over, but I just haven't found the time because I've got to go through and literally review 300. Well, no, wait, if there's 15 per, there's a lot of, you have to go through and you have to look at every single post to make sure it accepts the new theming and this and that. So it's an undertaking and it's one of those elements that's high on my list that I still haven't gotten to. So, and Squarespace kind of avoids that type of scenario. I'm still a WordPress guy. We use it, I know.
But you know, every time I have to update a plugin on WordPress, I'm always white knuckle hoping that it doesn't break everything because it's a customized template and like
that's one of the dilemmas.
And at one point it said, "Hey, there's a new version of the template. Do you want to upgrade?" I'm like, "No, that's really gonna break it." So we'll see. You know,
Good. I'm looking forward to it. I'm gonna go check out your article. And did you say the videos you're doing for Creative Space are also publicly available, or are those under subscription?
No, this should all be, as far as I know, this should all be public. I think.
Let us know when they're out. I'd love to check it out.
There should be another one that just came out or is coming out on how to properly highlight text in presentations for readability. And I think, I can't remember what the last one was, but anyway, yeah, they should be there. Go to creativepro.com/presentations. There's a bunch of stuff by me, by Richard Goring, by, you know, other people there. So, a lot of good stuff. Sandy, what are you working on other than, shoveling your sidewalk?
Well, that's Jeff. I rely on Jeff for that. And I rely on my website developers for keeping my website updated. So I don't have to hold my breath every time we have to update a plugin and everything. So there's that, but it is already time to start thinking about a new design. It goes so fast. So I'd love to see how it goes for you, Nolan.
I've been doing a lot of research and I was combing through your website, which I know about, but when you're designing, you look at things with a different eye.
And yes.
I really, really like your site. I think it really works well.
Well, thank you. I'm flattered. Well, so here's what's going on. This past Tuesday, I was able to present with a small group, the New York Technical Valley Users Group. It was a wonderful, I saw a lot of familiar faces and some new ones. I presented again. It's kind of funny because I threw out there when I was asked to present, what subject would you like me to present on? You know, do you want me to present on accessibility? What are the new things you can do in PowerPoint? I think that would be really exciting because there's so many cool new things in PowerPoint. Or do you want the science of presenting? And every single time people select the science of presenting. So I did my PowerPoint audiences are people too. And it was a really fun group to be with. Other than that, I am working on a ton of projects, of course, templates, updates. And this recent update for a project came in via LinkedIn. And it's been a while since I've had a LinkedIn lead. You know, I like being on there, so I'm prepared. I love reading everybody's posts, but it was interesting that someone came to me via LinkedIn. They're in Minneapolis, so it wasn't like, I don't know, it was a small world anyway. I'm also working on a print brochure in PowerPoint and a bunch of C-suite presentations for a healthcare company that's in the financial tech industry. Fun stuff.
I think the proper term there is fintech.
Fintech. I know. And that's what I wrote down, fintech, but I just decided
I had no idea. Ironically, I did not know what fintech was till like, I don't know, a year or so ago, because I was working on this presentation. I'm finally like, what is, you know, I'm thinking technology. Like, what is, I'm thinking thin tech, like thin servers. Somebody had to explain to me, like, you have no clue what you're doing for this presentation.
You're so funny. That's cute.
Yeah. I had a call with a potential client the other day, and I knew the company, so I looked at the website, you know, in advance, and I couldn't really figure out what they were doing, what they did. And so it gets on the phone, and I'm like, you know, tell me a little bit about your company. He's like, well, we're a fintech company. And I said, not helping. what do you do? Eventually I got to the point where I kind of understood what they did.
But, yes.
I forgot something else. Yesterday, when this goes live, it'll be last week, but yesterday for the Presentation Guild, I did a panel that was so much fun with Bethany Auk, Nancy Duarte, and Julie Terberg, moderated by John Ramlow. It was all on how to run a presentation business. So mm-hmm. John assembled the four of us as kind of like all along the spectrum from sort of, you know, semi-solo to sort of small firm to, you know, Duarte, which is the biggest. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting. So we took questions and chatted about origin stories and our biggest challenges these days. So
I have registered for that. I registered for that and I got hung up at the AT&T store. I got a new phone. So it took, of course, you can never walk in and get out of those stores when you're doing the phone thing. It was 2 hours later, you know, so I missed it.
It'll be recorded. So again, it's members only. But again, if you're a member, you know, the event next week, it usually takes a week for it to get posted. But all previous webinars are on the site.
All right, let's jump over to news, industry news, presentation news, because we didn't do news last episode because it was our two-parter episode and it was already an hour long of just conversation. So, you know, I made the decision we were going to not cover news there. So I know there's a lot to cover this week. We have to kind of manage our time here, guys, just because our conversation with Yulia is going to be long because there's so much to talk about and it's going to be great. So Nolan, kick us off. News something.
Two items from the Presentation Guild. The Guild has published its white paper, The Future of Presentations in a Virtual World. I know Sandy's talked a little bit about that, and we're going to be talking a lot about it or part about it today. But members can log in for special access to the Think Tank panel discussion video that inspired the white paper. But the white paper is available to non-members. Correct, Sandy?
That's correct.
So there's a link for that in the
free to anybody. You just log in and give. I think you register your name and email address, and you can download it.
And then also the state from the Guild, the Guild has released its current state of the presentation and salary survey. We're still gathering it. Sorry.
That's right.
Still, it's not released yet, but please, that's open to everybody. And if you do contribute to it, you get a copy of it and you get a possibility to win a free or renewed 1 year membership to the Guild if you participate. So that's really important to figure out how much we're all getting paid and how much we should be getting paid and basically what the state of the industry looks like. So we'll put a link in the show notes for that as well. Sandy, what do you have?
I have two listener mail.
I love listener mail.
So do I. It's so fun. I feel so important when we get it.
Do we have a bell?
Listener mail.
Do we have a
bell sound effect or something? The first is from our friend Tony Ramos. And he says, if you're not listening to the presentation podcast already, and you're involved in presentation design, delivery, or support, you're truly missing out. Do it up. And that was on Twitter. So thanks, Tony. That was wonderful. And then Mike Taylor, we've talked about Mike in the past. He gave us a review actually, and I'm reading directly from that review. And he says, this is the only podcast I never miss. There are so many podcasts to choose from these days, but the presentation podcast is the only one that I make a point of never missing an episode. Troy, Sandy, and Nolan always have great insights to share from their wealth of experience, and I am constantly scrambling to write down all of the amazing tips and resources that they share. If you ever create presentations for any reason, I can't recommend this podcast enough. And the best part is, even though I've never met any of them, I feel like we're old friends.
Oh,
isn't that great? Awesome.
Thanks, Mike.
That's awesome. That's really wonderful.
Hey, Nolan, what do you got?
Bright Slide for Mac, ding, 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 finally is, well, is released in a public beta. So we've had it on the PC for over a year at this point, but finally you can go to brightcarbon.com and navigate to Bright Slide, and you can download a beta for the Mac. It's got about 95% of the PC features. It's missing one or two things, but it really is. It's working really well. I've been using it for about a month testing it. And I was so thrilled. A friend of mine, another designer, emailed me and said, "Nolan, how do I get, you know, rounded corners to be the same on a page? Is there anything that I can do? I'm on a Mac." And I said, "Well, Bright Slide for Mac launched, you know, yesterday. So for the beta," I said, "download it. You'll be able to fix it." She emailed me back in like half hour. She said, "It just saved me, you know, hours of work."
Hours, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's just one of the many, 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 many features. So yes, Bright Slide for Mac. Go to, if you're on it, definitely, definitely it's the one plugin you need on the Mac. It's about the only one out there. Sandy, what about you?
First, congratulations to the folks at Bright Slide. Yes, I know that was a tremendous effort. Yes, oh exactly.
So and excited.
But more importantly, congratulations to all of you Mac users. Seriously, to be able to get this, it's quite the coup.
Do you know, I don't know if it was just me, but when I would in Google type in Bright Slide, one of the fill-in options was for Mac.
So, really?
Yes. So for all the people
looking for it,
yes, it's available now.
Okay. Well, okay. So, launched today. Wasn't it today or was it yesterday?
I got the email today.
Okay.
Maybe
someone was posting something yesterday, yeah. But it launched today then officially, and I think it's $9.99 or $99 a year for premium tools. So 3 months. Three free months for beta testers.
Yeah, if you have been beta testing, you'll get it for free. And you can use it for free, but they're the set of premium tools that you have to pay for, I think. Although I think you also get an hour use out of those tools free a day or something. It's weird. That's freemium. That's their model. But,
okay.
Still
got
Mac
it.
Only, right?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Only Mac. I know I signed up. I said I'd be available for the Windows beta, but I haven't heard a thing. So still waiting. Troy, how about you?
I've got two things here, newsworthy. And obviously, so the last episode, well, actually the last two episodes, we talked about the Max. We talked about the Adobe Max conference, phenomenal amounts of design information. Even if you don't use Adobe apps, there was so much design oriented type stuff. It was fantastic. I'm still finding time to review or watch some of the more detailed app ones. But another conference is coming up, the AIGA National Conference, 100% virtual this year. It's on November 9 to 14. So it's kind of already happened, but they're offering passes so you can go back and look at it. So it's just another design conference that suddenly you don't have to travel somewhere. I think this is going to be an ongoing trend. Most likely through 2021, most large conferences are going to go hybrid. So you can be in person or get, as example, like, you know, 85% of the content as a virtual attendee. So that's kind of a big deal. They also did something really interesting. They offered day passes to theirs. So it was a, you know, an all-encompassing pass or the day pass, even as a virtual event. I thought that was pretty good. And I've got this little teeny tidbit item here. It's kind of funny. Nolan, you'll probably have to chime in here because I don't fully understand it. So I'm reading through. Well, here's a personal dilemma. I have maybe a magazine subscription problem. You know, I get magazines. They show up pretty much every day in the mail. There's a different magazine. Well, it wasn't a problem when I was getting on an airplane, you know, 3-4 times a week, because they were my thing to entertain myself and what I would do on airplanes. I would try not to open up my computer. It was my non-screen time. And I would read through 2-3 magazines on flights. Well, I haven't been on an airplane, you know, in months. So they're piling up. So for this Hawaii trip, I literally loaded up with like 6 magazines per leg. And then I planned another 6 while I was at the condo, which I never even opened one because there's too many other good things to do. But so on the flight back, I'm reading the Maximum PCs, one of the magazines I get. A great magazine. Love it. It's got tons and tons of information. Some of it's really super geeky. But the opening sections are like little news tidbits, kind of like what we're doing right now. And the one caught, they have this little, you know, what oh, I wish I had it open in front of me. So it's the Maximum PC that says Ultimate Overclocking. It's the October issue. And they have a little, basically a green section, a red section, you know, wins and fails. And I can't remember which section this was in, which is really funny, but there was a little call out for Excel. I was like, oh, well, I should, this one's interesting. You never read about Microsoft Office in a computer build magazine. So basically it says that Excel has, Microsoft Excel has thrown in the towel. There are 22 scientific equations. The problem is that when you put them in, Excel thinks they're formulas, so you can never use them. So people that use Excel for scientific, they're always battling, because as soon as you type in this, you know, this equation, and it's not an equation like an Excel equation. They're, oh shoot, now I'm forgetting it. There are names of things that look like an equation. So the scientific community finally just renamed 22 things to not be look like equations in Excel. It's really hysterical. I'll throw the article. I'll find it online. It's hysterical.
I think I read that. They're basically changing the way they do science for Excel, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, there's 22 items. They're like, you know, the scientific community finally gave it. They're like, okay, we have to use Excel to number crunch. And every time we put in the name of this thing, it shows up in this equation. I thought it was hysterical. And I didn't understand. I mean, I looked at the equation, the naming, and I'm like, that's an equation, not a name to me. So anyways,
yeah. I think I saw something like that.
Microsoft influencing the world right there.
And so moving from Excel to Word, Designer for Word has rolled out to the online version. And I have not played with this. I haven't even seen, have you guys seen like videos or anything? I'm really curious to know how it works. You have, Sandy?
No, I haven't.
Oh yeah, like so. I assume it's gonna like automatically format things for you and put them into styles and all that kind of stuff. Hey, if that solves formatting in Word, hallelujah! But I'm still not. I don't know. I'm still very wary of Word. But there it is. I don't know if they're ever gonna, you know, make it to Designer for Excel. Maybe. We'll see.
I just want to put photos inside of a cell and have it go with the cell in Excel. Come on. I'm at the
same. Oh, you're asking for so much.
Yes, so much. I'm working on, I think, 15 Word templates right now. I didn't mention that up front because it's.
Oh, my God. What did you do to deserve that?
I know. Well, it's for a nonprofit. And I'm not giving away the bank, but, you know, I figured I could learn more about Word while I was for this organization.
Well,
and I'm learning a lot, man.
God bless you, Sandy Johnson.
Thank you.
So just to go back to your original thing there, Nolan, the Designer for Word, I actually am hoping it becomes successful, because one of the things it does is, well, first of all, it's got to port over to the desktop version, but it really leverages, and I'm struggling for the name of it. You know, we have Word styles and paragraph styles in Microsoft Word that we don't have in PowerPoint. So Designer is leveraging a lot of those from the little example videos I was watching. And I'm hoping it becomes popular, because Designer is technically a PowerPoint tool as far as I'm concerned, because that's where it was invented by the PowerPoint team. And they'll realize, oh, we need to apply these things to PowerPoint, and we'll get Word styles and paragraph styles finally.
Yeah, for the life of me, I don't know why we don't. But I think somebody told me once that it was much more complicated than you would think it would be. And I'm like,
on a code level.
Yeah. I don't care.
It's only code. Okay, so moving on back to the PowerPoint version, Presenter Coach, I know we've all played with it. It's available for the desktop finally. It's an Insider Fast thing, so don't run out and get it if you're on a corporate install. I can only get it on my Microsoft Surface, which is the, you know, the private purchased version of Office 365, just 365 or whatever we call it now. But anyways, that has rolled from the online-only world to the desktop world, which to me is very exciting. I think we got a few more items, then we got to get into our conversation.
There's a lot going on, but this is going to be a long episode today. Pitch presentation software. So pitch.com, great URL, finally officially launched. This has been in beta for a while. It is, I hate to say it, I guess they want to be another PowerPoint killer, but it's another all online, brand new presentation software that's got a lot of money behind it. I know that. I do like their design a lot. I haven't really played around with it too much. I've looked around the website a little bit, made an account, free account. But hey, if anybody is using it, have you guys played with it at all?
Not at all.
Yep. If anybody out there has played with it, let us know. Send us some email. Maybe we'll even have those folks on at some point to talk about it.
Sure.
Well, I think that would be awesome. Two, their website is beautiful. It is a very nicely designed. They're using some really awesome HTML5 animations, just to throw that out there. And three, just like all the other programs out there, it exports to a PowerPoint deck, kind of saying we recognize who the king of the hill is still, and we will play nice with them. But it does. I actually really do like some of their features and some of their ways of putting it together. I'm a little concerned that the templates aren't, Sandy, what we would consider
functional
corporate brand. Well, no. These are very, I played with it very, very little. I've been in Hawaii for 2 weeks. This has been the last thing on my mind. But I did sign up for the free account, this and that. But their templates are better than Google Slides, but they still don't quite cover the detail level we need for corporate clients.
That was my big question, looking at all the templates, how customizable it's going to be.
I'm going to have to dive into it more, but the interface is the whole genre of mobile and online interfaces is really changing. And I think this is another iteration of it. So yeah, it's definitely worth checking out. Pitch. And I think I've already got slated for blog posts, which is pretty funny because I can't do blog posts right now. So I've got this backlog of topics, but it's one that I do want to review. Okay. One more thing. And then we got to go on. Who's got the last one?
Final.
You got it.
It's Breakpoint for Countdown. Our friend Kurt DuPont with Presentation Point, who does a lot of digital signage. He just released the breakdown. It's a countdown add-in for PowerPoint. So, you know, you've had to do this for your, if you're creating training presentations, a client wants a countdown between breaks. He does that with a couple of clicks rather than having to start from scratch. Now, it's a simple, like, digital kind of look. It's not, sometimes I've done a clock that rotates hands and everything, but it's really nice. It saves hours of work for anyone who wants to add this to
and
their.
It's just, it just is in your normal presentation. You just add a slide for it.
You add it into your slide. It adds it has different capabilities. Like I said, the digital countdown. You can count down by hours. You can count down by minutes. Oh, nice. It also has a little weather icon. So wherever you live, it'll have. It's like a bug. So if it's partly cloudy, you've got the sun behind the cloud. It's a fun, helpful little app.
And it's free,
isn't
it?
It's free. Absolutely. Nice. So give it a go. We'll put the link in the notes.
The Presentation Guild has another first, an industry white paper, this time entitled The Future of Presentations. And it is great. Today, we're joined by Yulia Barnikova, also known as Leah P. Spice, for those of you in the YouTube and the presentation community. This white paper, well, it's extracts from a think tank that the Presentation Guild orchestrated, and Yulia was instrumental in the group interactions and creating the conversation that this group used to provide their insights into all of the topics in the paper. The paper's subtitle is Explore the Evolving Technologies, Practices, and Importance of Presentation in Our Daily Lives. And that is what we get to do today with Yulia.
Well, this episode has been building for a really long time. At the bare minimum last May, but I know I started following Yulia years ago on YouTube and on Twitter, where I took this literally from your profile page. You envision, Yulia, the future of communication and hunting for emerging tech we can use today. Love exploring creative uses of PowerPoint and XR. Yulia you're a frequent presenter at the Presentation Summit, and I think that's, you know, where the rest of the presentation community got to meet you. And you're not surprisingly a fellow PowerPoint MVP. So congratulations on that, and thank you for being here today. I just want everyone to know that given your leadership in the world of AR, VR, and 3D communications, I enlisted Yulia's expertise to actually facilitate the Presentations Guild think tank with industry leaders that included Nancy Duarte, Patty Sanchez, Peter Arve, Cliff Atkinson, Nick Morgan, John Romlow, Ken Millay, and Alberto Cairo. And then she took the lead after that think tank on the development of the recently published Guild white paper. I asked and you took it and you ran with it. So thank you so much for the leadership that you brought to the whole project. I'm curious to know more about your journey and really what got you to this place and why you're here today.
Sure. And thank you, Sandy. And first of all, I am super thrilled to be here because I've been listening to you all for years. And it's such an honor to be here speaking with you. But yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to talk about my journey here. So I've always kind of been interested in animation and kind of visual communication. Even as a child, I would borrow my parents' camcorder and actually do a little stop motion animation videos with McDonald's Happy Meal toys.
Aww. Oh my gosh.
That's awesome.
We'll explain what a camcorder is later.
Yeah, exactly.
I used a Hi-8 and Star Wars figures just to put it in perspective.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
Yeah, but so I've always kind of loved to create more creative experiences with presentations. And I never actually discovered PowerPoint and just the massive power of all of the things that you can do in it until really college and grad school when I started just experimenting with more creative presentations. And then when I entered the consulting world, that's when I really had a chance to do some client work and create more creative animations as part of just some presentations that we were doing with them. And so because I also love to teach and kind of share knowledge, I thought, well, you know, maybe others would benefit from some of the things that I'm learning here. And so I decided to just throw up a video on YouTube just to see how it played out with others. And what was interesting is that at the time, this was, I believe this was 2012 or so. At the time, there weren't actually a lot of people doing YouTube tutorials on PowerPoint.
I know you were like one of the first. Hey, interject your YouTube channel address or, you know, how people can find you on YouTube.
Yeah. So my YouTube channel called PowerPoint Spice, which is just, you know, kind of goes with spicing up your presentations and communication. So that was something that I had started just on a whim, thinking maybe others could benefit from my experiences, just some of the experiments that I was doing as part of my client work. And actually at the time, I think the most, like if you search for the word PowerPoint animation tutorial, there was this video of, I think it was some kid made it for his class, or maybe just messing around. And it was kind of a game where he kind of went around and he did some. I think it may have been like a battle that he did or something like that. It was really creative. It was just very impressive work, but it was really the highest ranked video on PowerPoint animation at the time. So I thought, you know, maybe I could add some additional perspectives there and create some more variety of different tutorials, even for kind of that could be used more in a business or more professional setting. And now I think what's exciting is that there are so many really talented people doing this kind of stuff. So I think that the field has really been elevated by all of these additional entrants into the space. And it's been a pleasure kind of seeing it grow.
Are you still updating your YouTube channel?
I do. I mean, I think with the recent situation, it's been really challenging to do it more often. But absolutely, it's kind of a creative outlet for me. And I think there's still some pretty interesting and really evergreen stuff on there to spice up your presentations. Okay. And I think especially kind of with the increased push for interactivity with presentations in this time, I think the more that you can create some surprising elements or kind of be very creative with your slides, the better. And so more recently, you know, I've been combining kind of this this work that I do with clients and thinking about the future of various industries. I actually, just before this recording, I was talking about the future of barcodes and supply chain, and just kind of
glamorous.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
You all are joking, but I seriously was in a discussion about how the internet has changed things. Assortment SKUs versus everything need to be an individual SKU. Yula, you and I can talk later, but that is very much literally hilarious. A conversation I had yesterday afternoon and this morning. So probably not quite on the same technical details, but it's in there. Nolan, you're welcome to join in.
Well, Yuli, not to jump in and cut you off, but was this for your day job? Was this for your consulting that you were talking about that? And do you want to talk just a little bit about that? Because I know you have your hands in so many different things, but what's your business consulting work like?
Absolutely. So essentially, we kind of help clients envision various future disruptions across all industries. So from, you know, aerospace and defense to retail to media, all of these different shifts that are really, many of them are similar in terms of the technologies that are reshaping the world. And then we apply them to clients in different ways. And I love to kind of take that thinking and apply that now to presentations. And as part of this paper, I really was thinking about what are those shifts that are happening in presentations, and then specifically, what do people need to learn in order to be able to succeed in that future and to be able to stay on the cutting edge?
So you're still working with futurism with your clients, in slightly different ways, but that's pretty much all you're thinking about is the future, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of like how these technologies like augmented virtual reality, which we mentioned quite a bit in the paper, but also, you know, 5G, blockchain, additive manufacturing, how are those technologies converging and really reshaping the future of really all industries?
There's a lot of words in that last sentence. I didn't understand all of them, but that's why we have you here.
So just to kind of set up the paper a little bit more, what we really did was apply this kind of future thinking to presentations, and my role on the paper more specifically was to really think about how augmented and virtual reality are reshaping the space, because that is really kind of the next thing in presentations, in addition to AI and some of the other shifts that we're seeing.
So I'm glad you brought up the paper. So back in May, just to go over this again, the Presentation Guild set out to hear from people who are, you know, at the forefront of presentations in lots of different respects. And they met to talk about how the pandemic and sort of working virtually have changed presenting. And you obviously contributed a lot to start thinking about and talking about what's next and, you know, skills that people need to prepare and evolving priorities. And if you have not read it, you need to. If you're a guild member, just a reminder, it is free. It's free to everyone, though, right?
It is free to everyone.
If you're not a member, you just have to provide your email address. I think that's it. But you can download it from the site. So to go sort of back, get maybe into the paper a little bit more, What were some of the key themes that were featured?
Yeah, so I think the biggest theme is that, you know, virtual presentations are here to stay. I think before COVID, a lot of times virtual presentations were kind of seen as maybe a Band-Aid or a less than, you know, gold standard solution. Maybe some people still think of it that way. But really what we've realized is that pretty much everyone needs to develop the skills to really embrace this medium and to really lean in and develop really a professionalism with it. So that was kind of the overarching theme. And the one thing that that we started off talking about is just, you know, the basics. Equipment matters. So there's, you know, things like your camera and mic, and Ken Mole, who's actually a contributor to the paper, has a lot of really great tips on his website about how to set up your mic and camera positions, even how to create a really creative background to make sure that you look, you know, fully professional, how to look into the camera, make eye contact. All of those little things really matter. And it's, you know, the way that I like to think about it is it's almost like a new suit, or it's kind of like your clothing, right? Because it makes that critical first impression. So typically, you know, people pay for, you know, tailoring of suits, really expensive suits. But really, when you get on that call, that video call, your equipment is what creates that first impression. And that's why it's so important to, you don't have to necessarily spend a ton of money on it, but just to really be thoughtful about that is really critical.
I love that analogy of the suit, because I've been talking to a lot of presenting to a lot of companies. And one of the things they'll tell me, they'll say, now don't, you know, I don't want you talking about expensive equipment because we're not paying for that for people. And companies don't normally pay for people's suits, right, or clothing. And yet, so even if your company's not going to pay for a webcam or a camera, you should be paying, and it's not a lot of money. You should be paying $100 or, you know, whatever for a decent setup. Because as you're right, it's how you present yourself these days.
So on the paper there, I mean, equipment was, it's called out, and I really like the way the paper's written, and that many things are kind of like a topical, and then there's a couple of, we'll say the experts kind of weigh in on it, but it equipment was a very small concept within it. Can we mention interactivity, accessibility? I really kind of like the talk about AI-based tools to use. I mean, there's so much great just starter conversation elements in this paper.
Absolutely. I mean, another key theme is interactivity. So that's a very easy way, in addition to your equipment, to kind of step up your game. And this involves both kind of interacting with the audience. So taking, you know, every few minutes or so, taking an input from them, like whether it's, you know, asking them to actually talk or get something through the chat, or using polling technology to be able to get something out of them. But, you know, as we talk in the paper, really in the age of social media, with everything that's bombarding us and all of these different priorities, it's so important to kind of stay engaging and really stay close with the audience, and to not let them lose focus.
I thought that was a great point there, because you actually said them both in one sentence, because we've always talked about engaging with as a presenter, to engage with your audience, and ways that audience can engage back, you know, and the paper kind of framed it in the term of inclusivity, which I've always put accessibility and inclusivity in a different category, but including your audience was a great theme throughout it. And it kind of changed a little bit of the way I'm thinking about using the term when we're talking about these virtual meetings and what presenters should be looking at doing and stuff. Again, it's more of a side note here, but I really thought this paper helped me frame my conversations about the world of presentation today.
That's great, Troy. That's really cool. That only emphasizes why others need to be downloading this. So that's...
Well, that and the fact that they actually talked about the AI-based feedback mechanisms in a positive light, because I've kind of avoided them up to this point. I was like, oh, okay. So I actually downloaded one and started. It was the one that, Yulia, did you mention it? What's the name of it? Oh, shoot.
Spico or Ori?
Ori. That was the one. Yep. I actually started investigating that. I'm like, oh, I haven't heard of this one. I'm like, hey, this has got some merit to it. Not to say that they all don't. I've just kind of have put them aside as something I just don't have time for. And I'm reformulating my thoughts on that as well, and what we may direct people towards. Anyways, there's a lot of great topics in this paper. By the way, this is not a heavy read. Last episode, we talked to Andy Goodman, and he had a study that was a little bit heavier read. That was like, what, 40, 50 pages at least, Nolan? And we're in draft format, so I'm assuming it's going to get a little longer when they make it, you know, they add all the graphs and stuff. This one is a quick read. I mean, it's under 15 pages.
Yes, it's 14
and the
pages,
last page, is the best description of the Presentation Guild I've ever read. I'm like, this is like what you need to broadcast to the world, because it was so well composed to put in this small space. But you know, this is like literally sit down for lunch and you can read through this. So highly recommend it. Okay. Now that I've derailed that, I got to ask the big question here, because the what's next, the next gen virtual platforms really got me thinking. And what's funny is a lot of the analogies were some hologram technology and stuff. And from my perspective, they're not new, because I'm in these huge corporate arenas where it's to put on a show. So I've gotten to work with these technologies, but I've never thought about them from the standpoint of, hey, somebody in a small studio or their home office or at a corporate building may be integrating these into their actual, you know, normal workflow for virtual meetings. Hey, there's another key phrase, virtual meetings. Up until March, they were remote meetings. Now we have the phrase remote meetings. Now we have the phrase virtual meetings to mean every Zoom and other type of, you know, virtual reality is what I, you know, was what a virtual meeting was.
That's
before.
A good
now it's it suddenly the term has taken on a different phrase. Okay. So to go back to it, Julia, tell us, because this is, I believe your hotspot on things is, you know, what is next in virtual platforms? Because it alludes to stuff in the paper. And I'd love to hear more from you, because I know this is what you think about on a daily basis.
Sure. Yeah. So with all of this, you know, video call fatigue going on, people are really searching for kind of a more immersive way to connect. So the hologram presentations, I mean, just to give a quick overview of that, I mean, that has been used in kind of large corporate events where you're using technology from art media as an example, and you bring in kind of a setup and there are people actually appear as holograms on stage and they can interact with the audience as if they're actually there. So I think that's actually going to be becoming more common as you get into more hybrid events where some people are in person and some people are remote, because that way that gives people more, the speakers more of a flexibility. You know, they can beam into one presentation today and then, this hour, and they can beam into another one in just an hour without having to fly around the world.
And how's the technology on that? Is it still gimmicky or is it like feeling real?
Depends on how much you spend. I will say I've already done events going back 6-7 years that was amazing. I know you guys mentioned the Pepper's Ghost effect, you know, that type of, it can be done cheesy. Like it's Halloween time. Have you guys seen all the pull up, you know, transparent screens where you can project onto transparent screen? Okay. Yeah. It can be done cheesy. It's the same concept, or it can be done amazing where you cannot tell if you're more than 4 feet away that person is not there. But again, I'm looking at hundreds of thousands of dollars for a 20-minute event, where I think Julia is kind of going with, hey, this is going to become more mainstay, and you could install something not cheap, and it would be more of an ongoing of usable element. And I think it's definitely going there. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah. And actually for a super cheap version, one of my most popular videos on my YouTube channel is actually how you can create kind of what I call the hologram selfie, where you use a kind of like this upside down pyramid as a projection screen. And then you can kind of, you know, if you film yourself on with a black background, you can actually appear as this, you know, floating head, especially if you wear a turtleneck. So that way you can cut off your neck. So I saw that.
That was awesome.
Yeah. For whatever reason, that's one of my most popular videos. Although I do get comments now and again that are like, that's not really a hologram, et cetera. But yeah.
It's visual trickery, but it is pretty darn cool.
All right, so we got holograms. What else do we got out there?
Well, in terms of, you know, just going with this hologram theme, now there's an increased push to kind of recreate being together more than what we feel like in a video conference situation. So one company that's really disrupting this space is called Spatial, which is a company that essentially they allow you to create an avatar of yourself, and you put a picture of yourself on top of the avatar. So it actually looks pretty realistic. I mean, some people kind of get into the uncanny valley situation. So some of them can look creepy, but if you practice enough and you input enough pictures and you sort of play with it, it can actually look pretty realistic. And so what you do then is you can put on a HoloLens, a Microsoft HoloLens, or a Magic Leap device, which are augmented reality headsets, which are basically you're able to see the real world with digital work overlaid on top of it. And so what happens then is you can actually get your colleagues to beam into your physical workspace as an avatar, and then you can almost do like a little whiteboard, collaboration session, or you can do a presentation. You can really feel as if they're actually there. And during the pandemic, they actually added a virtual reality capability there. So you can beam in people from virtual reality headsets, and there's even a browser version of it. So it's really becoming more inclusive of all different kinds of devices, which is really exciting because it's absolutely not cheesy. And it's very professional and used by corporations. So that's one. The other space that is really heating up here is virtual reality and what I call virtual world platforms. So this is one that I actually have been presenting a lot about. And the promise of these is to bring people together in a shared space, also in avatar.
Is this what we did after the MVP meeting?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. So at the MVP summit, a number of us, actually all of us here on this podcast and others got together, and we met in this virtual world. In this case, it was Altspace VR, which is owned by Microsoft, although many people don't realize it's owned by Microsoft. And it's a free platform that you can really go into today. I mean, I'd encourage anybody listening to this to check it out and set up a meeting. And it's accessible through a browser or a virtual reality device headset. That you can use.
Didn't Nolan and Troy get lost? Nolan and Steve. And
Rick, I think.
Rick, okay.
We were wandering around.
Yeah. You were wandering around the campfire, and I had to go and rescue you, create a portal to get you back into our space. Yeah, that was a fun time. But it goes to show that, in these worlds, you can create memories like that of Nolan being lost at the campfire. You know, that's something that he's probably not going to forget for a while. And it's something that, is now a shared memory for us, and not something that we'd be able to get on just a regular video conference call. So it's those kind of shared memories that I think really make these kind of spaces powerful. And essentially, I mean, it's in terms of kind of what they are, it's somewhat similar to Second Life in the sense that, there's avatars walking around, and you can, there's different spaces. There's like office settings, there's auditoriums, there's more kind of fantasy kind of a world that you can really build. You can really build anything that you want. And you're able to meet there. You're able to throw up some slides. You can actually have a presentation, take your PowerPoints and make them into images, and then you can put them into like a browser, and then you can see them through the website there. And you can really create a much more immersive meeting experience than you could on a video call.
Well, let's talk about video, if that's okay. You've mentioned a couple things. You mentioned the effort to, drive like together, to demonstrate being together. Teams is doing that. Zoom is starting with the capability to present in slide. So we're in slide. Now Teams just announced that. And it looks pretty awesome. The strength, Microsoft Teams announced that they're going to do that. And it looks pretty cool. So let's talk about maybe the virtual worlds versus and presenting in a virtual world versus presenting like simple video conferencing.
And And there it is, the cliffhanger conclusion of this podcast episode. No, seriously, if we keep going, I can look ahead. This is going to be an hour and 40 minutes long, and we do not want anyone to find out how much is too much of Nolan, Sandy, and Troy. But we do have a dilemma. There are only two episodes of the presentation podcast remaining in 2020. So the question is, or what you're thinking is, how can we already be talking about the end of the year? Well, okay, maybe it is great to be talking about saying goodbye to 2020 soon. But our dilemma is, we already have the topics for both of those episodes. So we are going to break with our 5-year tradition and release a bonus episode next week on Tuesday, November 24th, part 2 of our conversation with Yulia Barnikova, talking about the Presentation Guild's The Future of Presentations white paper will release.
Joining us for another great presentation conversation. Episode show notes are available at the Presentation Podcast website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. Also through the website, contact the show host with episode suggestions, questions, or comments. We want other designers to join us, and you can help. Please leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc., and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.